Glory to God. You know, there's a simple answer to everything. And Jesus gave it to us. He said, deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow. That is the answer to everything, no matter what's going on in your life. Never lose sight of that. Because once you begin to go, you know, deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow, picking up the cross means you're fighting in the spirit. Because when you pull a cross out of the ground, it turns into a sword. It's a sport, too. Fighting demons should be a sport. I actually got a call from an individual tonight before service. She said, thank you for taking my call, she said. And she was saying something about, I need to ask you about something. She's been a believer for 30-something years, whatever. And she said she's been waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning and she just doesn't want to get up. No. She just thinks it's evil. Because when she was young, she was told that demons associate with threes. It's like, what? Where'd you get this from, some religious moron? And I said, no, those are open windows or open doors between 3 and 6 for spiritual warfare. Why? Because demonic forces are battling against you, but you're not to be fearful of them. You should be battling against them. She said, yes, well, I got up and I was going to the bathroom and in my closet I saw this evil demon, big, staring at me. She said, I was awake. This was not a dream. And she just ignored it and went to the bathroom. And then she went to her office in her house. She wouldn't go back in her room or in the closet. I said, so what did you do? Well, I just went to work. I said, did you bind the spirit? No, I didn't even think about it. She goes, I was so frightened. I said, did you plead the blood? No, I didn't even think about it. I was too frightened. Did you use the name of Jesus? No, I didn't think about it. I was too frightened. So I said to her, how do you know the Lord didn't allow this to happen so that you would go another level of spiritual warfare? You've been slacking. Playing religion. God is trying to get you to move up another level so you can fight. But, you know, again, we're not to be running from it. They're afraid of us. So the only way that they try to mess with you is to surprise you and try and bring fear on you so that you freeze. But if you put it into practice, you won't freeze. You'll bind, blind, mute, and deaf that spirit and be angry when it shows up. Get the heck out of my home right now in the name of Jesus. Go back to the pit where you belong. And so anyways, on that, I realized, you know what? She was protecting herself. She wasn't denying herself. She certainly didn't pick up the cross or the sword and follow. But so many people fall into that place of complacency, compromise. You must be alert. The Bible says that the devil seeks whom he can devour. We must be alert, ready, in season and out. And even if you get freaked out, shut your eyes and bind it. Get rid of those demons. So I share with her, you know, maybe, you know, not only is God trying to show you what's what, but maybe having a cursed item in the house somewhere that you don't know about. It's drawing demonic activity. Things that have been handed down. Are you still holding things from grandma, grandpa, your parents, whatever, that you don't know? You never broke the curses off? You know, people go out and buy all kinds of stuff and never break the curses off when they bring them home. Do you know that young children are paid to put curses on products? And they get paid, especially in other countries, with a Pepsi. They get paid with goods, food. Some of them are starving. They get paid to present curses on certain items and jewelry and stuff like that. Anything you buy, I don't care where it comes from. Amazon, it don't matter. You break the curse off of everything you buy or anything that's been donated to you and brought into your home. I do it every single day in all of our campuses. I command those spirits to go to the pit and not return. Then I cleanse those items with the blood of Jesus and anoint them so that they can go into homes and into souls with deliverance, healing, and salvation. Remember in the book of Joshua, they couldn't defeat their enemy until the accursed items were removed. God said, I'm not going to move on your behalf until you remove those cursed items. Joshua 7, if you get a chance, read it, you'll see. So we must be careful of those things. You know, we're to be more than conquerors. We're to be above all of this stuff. We're to be learning more. And that's where Jesus said, you know, some of you haven't learned yet. So you're going to still go through stuff until you learn it, until you put it into practice. See, learning something means you're putting it into practice. You put it into practice, it becomes a habit then. It becomes a part of your life. It becomes a routine. The more and more you do it. I don't care if you have to stand in the mirror and cast out every devil that's in you. If he starts winking at you, make sure you get rid of him. Remember, we don't fight flesh and blood. And one of the things that we've got, you know, the enemy compromises our identity. Who are we? Are we really more than conquerors? You know, God speaks to us in multiple ways and he encourages us. And I have strange conversations with the Lord because I ask him strange questions. And so he just gives me simple things sometimes. And I was saying, well, you know, do you want to talk about something tonight? I always ask him on the day or whatever. You want to talk about something? What do you want to talk about? And there's things that I think. Then there's things that he just comes up out of nowhere. I mean, I can't be out of nowhere with him, you know, but for me it's out of nowhere. One of the things he said to me, knew me. Knew me? What's new me? It's new me. It's new me. Everybody say, new me. So you're new me. He said, I knew you, but you must know you. You're a new me. Old me's passed away. New me is new. New me. Does everybody get it? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Now, wait a minute. Regard no one according to the flesh, the physical realm. In a false reality. We don't regard people according to the physical realm. In other words, the people that are ruled by the world. We don't regard them. Does everybody understand? It doesn't mean that you're disrespectful, but we don't guard with we don't take for granted what they. I mean, we don't take realistically for what they say. They're of the world. They're not of the kingdom. Therefore, now on we regard no one according to the flesh, the physical realm, and a false reality. Even though we have known Christ according to the physical realm and the false reality, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, and you got to remember, what is Christ? Christ is the anointing. If anyone is in Christ, and what is the anointing? The eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. That's what the anointing is. The eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. Make sure you know that. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. He's a new me. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He's a new me. Now, all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us a ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors. What's an ambassador? It's a diplomatic official of high ranking. We are ambassadors. We are authorized with a message representing the kingdom of God. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be what? Reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. Wow. Hallelujah. So ambassadors are diplomatic officials of high ranking. They are authorized messengers representing the kingdom of Christ to reconcile humanity to their Creator, freeing them from deception and bondage of this world. That's a high calling. Amen? That's a responsibility that you and I have been given as a born-again believer. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God will to make known what are the riches of his glory in this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. New me. A new me. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Eternal, again, that's the anointing, eternal presence, power of Christ. The anointing in us, it is a mystery now revealed by the Holy Spirit. You know, when you and I were going to church as young whippersnappers, playing religion, fulfilling somebody else's requirement, but really not wanting to be there. Most of the time, church for me was boring as could be. Until I got touched, until I went to a spirit-filled church, touched by God, then it was different. But other than that, church was not church. I didn't know the power of God. I didn't know anything until I was taught about the Holy Spirit. And that you could have a relationship. And your relationship with the Holy Spirit connects you to everything. Connects you to the Father, connects you to Jesus, connects you to everything. So without the Holy Spirit and relationship with the Holy Spirit, you ain't connected to nothing but yourself. And that's where many people falter. They forget about acknowledging the Holy Spirit in their life. Think about how many times Paul wrote letters and he said, I was led by the Spirit, I was led by the Spirit, I did this by the Spirit, I did that by the Spirit. Jesus waited for the Spirit to come when he was here. Amen? And then he went out and did works. So never take for granted that the Holy Spirit is there to assist us and teach us and guide us. He is there, you just have to invite him. Don't ignore him. Amen? And everything you do, just invite him. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Yes. Now revealed by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You're a new me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, please. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with what? Excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him what? Crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and much trembling. And my speech, my preaching, not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are what? Mature. Yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing, which we see that happening. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they had known, they would have not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it's written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Again, everything's through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. The deep things of God. Speak wisdom and mysteries, deep things of God prepared for the new me. Prepared for what? The new me. Amen. It ain't prepared for the old you. It's prepared for the new you. Amen. The new me. Ephesians 2 verse 1. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, which is the plan. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, not by yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. He made us sit, positioned us in heavenly places of authority, in the anointing of Christ. Not the old me, but the new me. Amen? It's the new me. And we got to remember, you know, people say that a lot of times, well, I'm a new creation in Christ. They don't realize it's a new me now. You know, and you must get that reality. It must become a revelation to you that you're a new me. You know, I'll never forget when I went before the judge when I was facing a minimum of 4 years in prison, mandatory. And there was just no way out of it. I had to go do 4 more years in prison. And I wanted to tell that judge it wasn't me that did it. It was my flesh. But that's not me no more. There's an old me. I'm a new me. And the Holy Spirit, you better not tell him that. Let me take care of this. And I walked out of that courtroom on probation without a mandatory prison term. And I did 2 years of probation, which I didn't care about because I didn't plan on doing anything wrong. But I was a new me. But this was not something that was in my head. It wasn't me that did those things. There was such a separation of old me and new me. Even though I was guilty, but it still wasn't me. The new me is innocent. A little spoiled, but innocent. My father spoils me. And can be a brat sometimes, no doubt. My wife will agree to that. But I'm still a new me. I'm not the old me. In fact, I said to someone on the phone because he was very rude to me. I said, you know what? You need to thank God I'm not the old man. Of course, he called my family and said I threatened him over the phone. I said, I didn't threaten him over the phone. I just told him he needed to thank God it wasn't the old man, or I'd have him hanging from a tree. But anyways, again, when you are a new me, things are different. You're brand new. And your identity reflects off of the new me. I'm brand new. You're brand new. But so many times we kind of take it for granted. And I think the Holy Spirit kind of reminds us every once in a while. He kind of snugs us, you know, gives you a little elbow. You're a new me. Remember, you're a new creation. Old things pass away. All things become new. What are you worried about that for? You don't think I can take care of that? Because we have a tendency to try to fix things. We have a tendency to try to make things right ourselves. And we usually make it worse. But new me's trust God. They know how to wait on the Lord. They're not anxious for nothing. Everything is connection. Connection. The priority of a new me is the one that created you. In such true, beautiful relationship. The new me loves the presence of God. The old me hates it. You know, you have a battle in you every time you come to service, gather together. Sometimes that inside is saying, man, I don't want to go through this. And you got to grab that spirit by the throat and throw him in the presence of God until he submits and gets underneath your feet. That's called the flesh. So there's a constant battle between the old me and the new me in you. It doesn't stop. It's not going to stop till the day you boogie. I mean, leave this planet. Amen. Till you depart. You're taken up. Blast off. Praise God. Hallelujah. Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. New me. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly will also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old me, old man, was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, which is the presence of evil. For he who has died has been freed from sin. He who has died, a person that has died denies themselves. A person that is dead denies themselves. Does everybody get that? Oh, hallelujah. For he who has died has been freed from sin. He who denies himself, picks up the cross, and follows is free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves dead indeed to sin. That means you must reckon yourself, your old man, the old me, crucified. But alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members are instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but you are under grace, which is God's plan of escape. We are to be dead to the old and free from the evil presence in the new. newness of existence in life. Newness of existence in life. That's the new me. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. You know, that's got to become a reality, a revelation. I'm a new me. I'm not an old me no more. I battle the old me, but I'm a brand new me. And every day I'm a new me. But you got to be, that's why you got to put the new me on every day. Because if you don't put it on, the old me is going to come right back. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind, set your thoughts, not on yourself. Hello? Set your thoughts on the things above. That's the future. Not on things of the earth. For you died. Everyone say, I died. And my life is hidden in Christ God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Why? Because you're a new me. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry, goofy thinking. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another. And don't lie to yourself. Since you have put off the what? Old man, or the what? Old me. With his deeds and his beliefs and his habits and its character. And put on the new man, or the new me, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but what? Christ is in all and in all. The new man is the new me. James 1:21. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into it with the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he's religious and doesn't bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and keep oneself unspotted from the world. Doers of the word. That means put into practice as a new me. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But you are a what? Chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Now, look, I want you to grab hold of something. It says here that you are chosen, you are royal, you are holy, and you are special. That's the new me. What does it say? You are what? Chosen, royal, holy, and special. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but now are now the people of God. Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Again, we are chosen, we are royal, we are holy, and we are a special people of God. That is a new me. Ephesians 4:17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. Now, what are Gentiles? Are they new me or old me? Amen. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you've not so learned Christ, if you're doing these things. And if indeed you have heard of him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you do what? Put off concerning your former conduct the old me, the old man, which grows corrupt. It's going to continue to grow corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind or your thoughts. And that you put on the new man or the new me, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Renewed in the spirit of thoughts, of your thoughts. And put on the new me. Psalm 40 and verse 1. Let's speak it. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps. He put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear, and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust, and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works, which you have done, and your thoughts towards us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I could declare and speak of them, they are more than can be what? Than can be numbered. Woo-hoo! Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, my ears you have opened, burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I came in a scroll, the book, it is written of me, the new me. And I delight to do your will, O my God, and your laws within my heart. Wow. The new me. You know, sometimes you can't figure out what God's will is. So you just do it. Well, I don't know what it is, but you're doing it and you don't even realize it. That's where if you're asking him to be led, to lead you, you know, put everything in divine order. I ask that every single time, Lord, you put everything in divine order. Establish me to be a son that pleases you. So things may come across your path. Your plans are nullified. Okay, this is what the order is then. I don't make plans. Very seldom. I think you might make one or two plans out of a year. I don't know. But every day is a different day. I don't know what's going to happen. I just want to be led. Hallelujah. Of course, my wife asked me what I want for dinner during breakfast time. I don't know. What do you want for dinner? What's ever left over? It's fine with me. Anything else will be done by divine order. Hallelujah. Romans 7, verse 13. What is good become what? Death to me, certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my what? Flesh, my old man, because your old man is now flesh. Nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, called my flesh, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, my new me. But I see another law, my members warring against the law of my thoughts, my mind, trying to bring me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members, which is in my flesh. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Paul was really getting down on his flesh, man. It's like, whoa, this is nuts. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Old man, new man. And I'm going to close with Revelation 21. Are you a new me or still old me? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Revelation 21, we'll start at verse 1. See, you got to be a new me to enter the new things. You can't be an old me. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. All things new for the new me. You got to be a new me to get into all things that are new. Amen. It's a daily thing. You got to take off the old me and put on the new one every day. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We thank you for all trials and tribulations exposing the old me, that the new me may take precedence and dominion over the old me, so that we may be in one accord with relationship with you, like-minded and like-hearted and like-willed, so that your purpose can be manifested in this reality. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.